Our scripture this morning is Acts 16, 9 through 15. And if it didn't fall out of your bulletin, I think you may have gotten a piece of purple cloth in your bulletin, or it may have fallen out. I seem to have one here, but looking ahead at the scripture, I think there's some significance to the purple cloth in the scripture for this morning. It can be found on the back of the bulletin, and you can follow along and watch me struggle with the pronunciation of cities that I've never been to. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to him. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace, and the next day we went on to Neapolis. From there we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of that district of Macedonia, and we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Well, here in Acts this morning, we learn about the conversion of Lydia and her whole household. A novel titled Safely Home by Randy Alcorn tells the story of an American businessman named Ben Fielding, whose entrepreneurial approach to business takes him to China. In China, he reconnects with a college roommate named Lee Kwan. It's a compelling story of Christ's transformation, for while Fielding thinks that he is going to China to strike it big in business, he comes home richer than he could ever possibly have imagined, because he has encountered Christ in China, in the marketplace, in the business world, and of all places, God at work. Reaching for hearts in the marketplace is not a new idea. Perhaps God uses the marketplace to facilitate our conversion. Here in Acts, we meet Lydia. Lydia is a successful and effective businesswoman in a Roman colony named Philippi. She has gone to the river for a prayer meeting with other women from town, and there she encounters Christ through Paul's proclamation of the gospel. It says, God opened her heart to listen eagerly to what Paul was saying. Lydia was a dealer in expensive textiles in purple cloth. She was the head of her household, and so she invited the apostle Paul and Timothy to stay in her home as they went about preaching and teaching and healing in Philippi. It seems right to uncover one of the rare female witnesses in the early church, and in fact, one of the rare occasions in which the female is named, Lydia. Lydia came from Thyatira and may have been named for the district Lydia. She was probably well known because she was a merchant, a businesswoman, and a dealer in purple cloth. She was a woman of means. Purple cloth was very rare. The dye coming from sea snails or mollusk, which after an elaborate process of extraction from about 2,000 of these snails, would yield only a whole 2 grams of precious purple dye. Her business was with the wealthy. Kings and princes, emperors and military magistrates were those who could afford to be covered in purple layers. Thick purple robes and jackets. We don't know why Lydia was the head of the household, whether she had been widowed or perhaps she was the only heir to an existing business. It probably doesn't matter much, but her story told here is witness to women who did provide economic resources to the early Christian community. In fact, it is noted by scholarly research that all the women in the book of Acts who are mentioned by name were women of economic means and were of vital importance to the growing Christian community. The very resources they share are the reason we are here today. Our contemporary American culture has enforced the notion that God is to be kept separate for those who believe, that church has no right to move into secular arenas. God is for the church. Thank you. Go and get your fill there. It's okay to take your money to the church, but by all means, don't take your faith of God to Wall Street. The secular world is constructed to keep mammon the god of our lives. We are not to interfere with that. Oh, yes, we see a few brilliant business moments of Christian witness, but often those moments are discounted as being less than faithful and perhaps just tax write-offs for billionaire tycoons. God is probably having a good laugh, for to keep God contained is impossible. God is the very reason that Paul and Timothy are in Macedonia anyway. By Paul's account, it was the Spirit of Jesus that prevented them from going further west into Asia, turning them instead toward Europe. Can we consider for a moment that this may represent a move to another ideological sphere as well as a geographical location? That God's missionary movement into Europe was all about entering into potential places of power and trade. All of us here in Northern Virginia have lives that intersect with the business world. We can't get through a day without approaching one or two businesses. Many of us run businesses or work in the management of them. Most of us have a budget across our desk. I want to ask all of us to reflect for a minute. What has been the most meaningful moment of your life dealing with the business world? What are your day-to-day challenges in your place of business? Do any of them have to do with the practice of your faith? Have you ever noticed something about your business dealings that seem to have God's handprints all over them? Here's the thing. God cares for and chooses not only the oppressed and powerless to transform and redeem. God also chooses people like Lydia. God converts even business people, opening hearts to God's word and transforming and redeeming their lives. God moves in ways to redeem all aspects of our lives, not only our prayer life, our needs for healing, not only for our relationships with family and friends, but God wants to redeem our economic and political and social situations too. What our modern-day assumptions hide in this text from Acts about Lydia's business is that this successful businesswoman, Lydia, did not take the metro to an office building to work with people she didn't know. And while she may have traveled from city to sell her expensive cloths, Lydia's business was located in her household. The primary economic unit of the Roman Empire was the household unit. Lydia's household was the business office. The text does not give us all the details of her business. At the most, the members of her household might have been responsible for the labor and technology of crushing the mollusk shells and extracting the purple dye to make the purple cloth. At the very least, the members of her household were the managers and public relations people, the secretaries and sales personnel for her business. There was a hierarchy in the household, and it says in the scripture that Lydia was the head. And so all that Lydia did was connected with her home, her family, her extended family, and her slaves. These were the employees of her business. Lydia hears a word of God. She is converted, and her entire household is baptized. She doesn't keep this good news from those she works with. It says she has her entire household baptized. Everyone, quite possibly including the children. Imagine this difference for Lydia. Christ is now the head of the household. God is the head of Lydia's business. And Lydia opened her household to Paul and Timothy, not just for the bedrooms and meals, but also revealed her business dealings and her relationships. Lydia worked in circles that would include the Roman magistrates and the royalty from nations around the region. When God's word became real for Lydia, I imagine her witness became the talk of the town. Inviting a Jew and a circumcised Greek into her home to share some mysterious message about God and Christ. Didn't Lydia already have it all? It is no accident that God chose to reveal Christ to Lydia, to open the heart of one who was a dealer in purple cloth. For God instructs the Hebrew nation in Exodus 26:1 to clothe the tabernacle in 10 curtains of purple and crimson and blue. The essence of God clothed in purple. We see Jesus in purple as well in the Gospel of Mark 15:17. The soldiers arrested Jesus. They put a purple robe on him and twisted some thorns into a crown, calling out, "Hail, King of the Jews." They struck him with a reed. They spat on him. They knelt down in homage to him, mocking him. God in Christ, clothed in purple. God the royal one, the King of Kings and the Prince of Peace wore purple. In Ireland and surrounding countries, there is an expression that when someone does something really, really well, that they wear a purple patch. For example, that chap playing football, he wore a purple patch. Or the tea room waitress had on a purple patch. So this morning, I want you to remember Lydia, the dealer in purple cloth. And though we are not the emperors or the magistrates, we all wear the royal color of our baptism, which is Christ the Lord. There are purple patches that were in your bulletin, like Watson said, and you can see I have attached mine today. I would like you to take the patch and put it in your jacket, your pocket, your shorts, whatever you have. Keep it on your desk at work. It's about the size of a credit card, so it's not so big. Iron it to the sweatshirt you wear to the park. Take Christ with you everywhere. Wear a purple patch and witness to Christ in your life. It is the most brilliant thing you can do. God was made flesh in the person of Jesus. And through the risen Christ, a message began to move about the world and spread a word of hope. God does not keep the good news from entering and impacting the business world. The gift of God in Christ for us all, for the haves and the have-nots, is the same. Life is empty unless we share in Christ. All the wealth in the world doesn't mean anything unless it is shared. And for those who are poor, again, their situation is hopeless unless it is shared. There is a sense that today's economic situation has no hope of recovery. This text asks us, have you baptized your secretary? Have you witnessed Christ to your boss? I have. Have you given good news to the gas attendant? And does the grocery clerk know your name? The hardest business or professional decisions we will ever make are not the ones that speak loud and clearly of our faith in God. The hardest decisions we will ever make are the ones that ignore God's relevance in that decision. I believe there are far more dangers in not sharing our faith in the business, economic, and social world than there are in sharing our faith everywhere we go. Individuals can do this noiselessly, but for the church, this may require the church begin to look and act a little different than we usually do. And I'm not suggesting that I have all the answers to how to move through the business world, but we have to try. Keeping God separate from our dealings in the world, that God belongs only here in church, is absurd. God is free to move anywhere at all in the world. People are crying out for a word of hope, especially economic hope, and especially our younger generations. I close with this story. A six-year-old had a passion for his two little Hot Wheel cars. He took them everywhere that he went. He played with them nonstop. One was in dire need of a paint job, and the other one had a chipped wheel. His parents didn't have much extra money, so a good family friend noticed that free Hot Wheels were being offered at the local gas station with each fill-up. So she got everyone in her office on board to pick up a different Hot Wheel car until finally she had a box collection for her six-year-old friend. She was filled with excitement when she gave this little boy his new collection of Hot Wheels. He filled every window in the house. Every windowsill had a Hot Wheel on it. But only after a few moments, he stopped playing with them. And when she asked him why he wasn't playing with his new cars, he looked away and with a quivery voice, he said, "I don't know how to love this many cars." The evidence of those who need conversion to Christ in our world today is made clear and relevant when we see those who have too many Hot Wheel cars to love. Could our conversion hinge on taking our excess and offering it to others? Those of you who deal in purple cloth, those who wear a purple patch, remember the riches found in Jesus Christ our Lord.